ER-101. Get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host and emergency room physician, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome to ER-101. We're happy to have you here today. And we have an interesting show. February is Heart Disease Awareness Month. So, of course, we have to talk about heart disease in general and women in heart disease. It's the Red Dress Campaign. It's probably been almost 10 years since its inception, and yet sometimes women still have this misconception that and don't truthfully understand that heart disease is their number one threat and killer. So I want to welcome my first guest to help us talk about that and enlighten us, Dr. Bruce Lobitz. He's an emergency physician in Columbia, South Carolina. He completed his residency at LSU in Baton Rouge, and he's been in practice for more than 16 years. He's been a guest on the show before, so welcome and thanks for being here, Dr. Lobitz.
My pleasure as always.
So, you know, there's just so much advocacy with breast cancer, and, you know, I applaud the American Heart Association for starting this whole Red Dress campaign, but still with heart disease. And, you know, I can point out a recent study. Women are still a little bit like second-class citizens. And some of it is their own fault, and some of it, I think, is healthcare providers' thoughts. But there are definitely gender differences in heart disease. And, you know, I don't know. I think it's both sides. Women put themselves last and don't think about it. And then there still is some sort of bias in medicine about it, but tell us first the differences that we can see with men versus women.
Sure. You know, I think part of the problem stems from the beginning research, you know, going back to the 60s and 70s when all cardiovascular disease was mostly studied in men, and that's where the kind of classic presentation with the, you know, where angina was first defined, and, you know, most elderly, or, you know, as a middle-aged men in their 50s and 60s would have this heavy chest pain with shortness of breath, and that became the classic presentation. And nobody really knew, and women tended not to have that kind of presentation, and nobody really knew why, and it was not as common. So it was kind of put on, like you said, it was kind of put on the back burner. So it was nice that in the last few years, there's been more of an emphasis looking at women's presentations, because as you said, it's still the number one killer in women as well.
Yeah, and what's interesting is, you know, I reviewed some studies not too long ago that showed that women have higher death rates than men. They're not always given the same therapies of beta blockers and aspirins and stents right away. There was even a study that I think we did, an emergency physician group, that looked at transport times. There was a delay with 911. And just this past February of 2012, there was another study that said female heart attack patients have a higher in-hospital mortality. And I think what happens is, you know, doctors still don't always, especially in the younger crowd, this study said in younger women, by the time women got older, there wasn't that much of a higher mortality rate in hospital. And I think that's because, you know, we're very good at saying, okay, you're 75, you're 80, you're postmenopausal, you're having weird symptoms, let's check you for heart disease. But it's not the first thing that we think about for a 30 or 40-year-old woman. And maybe they have some risk factors and we're sort of missing it. And I think that's, you know, part of the problem for
exactly.
Some of this.
And that's the same study that I was going to talk about today, because it was a big deal. You know, the study included over a million people, both men and women, that had heart attacks in the hospital. So it's been, I mean, that was a big deal. It's a really good study, too. And not only did it point out the difference in mortality, like you said, women were 1.5 times more likely to die of their heart attack in the hospital. But the other kind of emphasis of the paper was to point out the presenting symptoms that they had when they came in. And it turns out, you know, everybody, again, associates chest pain with angina and heart disease and heart attack, where about 30% of women do not have chest pain.
Right.
And they looked at all the other symptoms. They tend to, and we've known for a couple of years now that women tend to have what we call atypical presentations, and that they don't have the classic heavy chest pain, like I mentioned before, that they have more vague symptoms like shortness of breath or nausea or weakness. And it turns out the single most common complaint that women with heart attacks have is just fatigue or weakness. And so that makes it very difficult to pin down those that are, you know, have weakness or shortness of breath from other source, or whether it's really a cardiac problem. And that gets into risk factors, like you mentioned briefly. A thing that women can control as far as the development of hardening of the arteries, what we call atherosclerosis, and those are the things like diabetes and being overweight and smoking.
Yeah, and that's so true. I mean, you know, when you look at some of these symptoms that women are presenting with, I mean, fatigue, come on. Who among us, what busy women out there running around between work and kids don't feel fatigued? So, you know, it's really hard to tell. But yet when you talk to some of the women that have had heart attacks and they really think back, they, you know, hindsight is 20/20, but they will tell you, yeah, you know, I could tell there was something wrong. I thought I was getting the flu. I didn't know what this fatigue was. But, you know, I think that's really important. And, you know, I think the other issue that's interesting for women, you know, they're the caretakers for everyone in the family. So they'll be very proactive if there's symptoms related to their husband or their children. But they always notoriously put themselves last. And that is potentially dangerous. You can't, you know, I've had women come in, you know, heart attack, stroke, whatever. You know, one woman could barely move her arm, you know, and she's telling me she can't go to the cath lab because she has 20 people coming for Thanksgiving dinner, you know, and I think that that's so true about
women. Absolutely. I hear that all the time as well.
In your practice. So it's true. So risk factors, there's things we can't do anything about is genetics, right? But family history of somebody having a heart attack at a younger age, first relatives, things like that, we can't do anything about. But right. Women should think about that, you know, think about what their fathers, you know, how about their fathers, their mothers, things like that. And then the preventable ones, for sure. Let's go over those.
Right, and that was the other, right. Yeah, the classic risk factors are a family history, like you said, high cholesterol, diabetes, smoking, being male, of course, is a risk factor itself. Obviously, women don't have that. And that was kind of the one little tidbit that was kind of buried in that big study that I was talking about before was the smoking. That there's something a little bit different about atherosclerosis and how it develops in women. They tend to, not only do they have, when they have these heart attacks, they tend to do worse, like we talked about, but actually their blockages tend to be smaller than men. Men have big blockages, and it's no surprise when they, the idea is that the plaque ruptures and you get a clot at that site, and that's what causes a heart attack. But in women, those blockages and calcium deposits are actually smaller. So the idea is, and what tips the scale and what makes the difference, it turns out, is smoking. There's something about smoking, and it probably stimulates kind of an inflammatory response through the bloodstream, and so a woman is more like a woman who smokes is more likely to have a clot form at that site, even though it's a smaller blockage, and that's what triggers their heart attack. So the main, like I said, lifestyle thing that women can do something about is smoking.
Right. And the truth of the matter is, if you think about it, okay, you say that women have smaller clots, but they have smaller arteries too. So it doesn't take as big a clot in a woman, you know, that has a different anatomy that's a little bit smaller. So that's another important thing to consider, too, when we're talking about women. And, in a minute, we are going to come back with Dr. Lobitz. And we are going to talk a little bit more in depth about lifestyle changes and how that can help prevent heart disease.